This podcast is from a program which originally aired in 2006.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, my guest is the multi-talented Benny Golson, known the world over for his wonderful compositions, horn playing, arranging, and now, thanks to Steven Spielberg's film, The Terminal, we can add movie star.
I laugh when you say that.
Well, it's true. That was quite a film. How did that all come about?
Much to my surprise, I was in Europe at the time, and I got a call from the office out in Los Angeles, and they said, we got a call from Steven Spielberg today, and he wants to know if you're interested in a small speaking role with Tom Hanks in his new film. And I said, no. And the reason I said no is because a few years ago I got a call from Woody Allen's office.
Oh.
You know, and yeah. When I went down, I thought he just wanted me. And when I went down, there were about 10 guys there. And I guess they pick whomever they wanted, and it wasn't me.
Oh,
and then
what a drag.
About a year or so later, I got another call from his office. I said, well, maybe it's different this time. And when I went down, there were about 20 guys there this time, and I didn't get it again. Then I got some calls for television commercials. I never got any of those. So I thought it was one of those things, you know, I would go there and it was like a cattle call. They would say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and it wouldn't be me. And they said, no, I think he wants you. I said, really? Which came as a surprise. And then when I talked to him, I know I'm not an actor. I asked him, who would I be portraying? I was concerned. He said, yourself. And I thought, well, I guess I can do that. And then I had a screen test here in New York City. And they had sent me a script, and it wasn't very involved. There's some words that I had to say to Tom. And I went down, and I did the screen test. But after I finished it, I just felt it wasn't what a musician would say. It didn't seem authentic. It just
It didn't sound hip?
No, it sounded too structured and kind of square.
Yeah.
So they said, well, do it again the way a musician would do it. And I did it, and they sent it to Steve, and he said, that's it. Great. So then he told me that they would be recording up in Montreal, and that they would build a nightclub set for me. And then I found out what the picture was about, more or less. It centered on me, although you didn't know that until the end of the picture. And throughout the picture, Tom was bent on getting my autograph, and that's what it was all about.
So that's the real story.
That's the real story.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
And now, do you think we should play something? We've got wonderful Rufus Reed here on bass.
Yes.
Well, let's put all of ourselves to work.
What would we have done had we not had the blues? Let's begin with the blues.
That's a great idea.
Let's begin with a tune called Pierre's Moment.
Okay. Was great. It's so nice to get to play together after all this time.
It has been a long time, too long.
Other than the movie, what other things have you been doing? You've worked with so many people, I can't keep track.
Well, I'm always trying to come up with new tunes. Some of the tunes come a little hard, you know, you have to develop things, and then some of them jump out at you screaming, "Here I am," you know, but it all boils down to being an adventure and giving birth, metaphorically.
Yeah. Well, now, how did you make out when you did Along Came Betty?
An interesting story, and it goes way back. Marion, it goes back to the 50s when I was with a rhythm and blues group called, I hesitate to tell you this, I might mar my reputation, but the group was called Bull Moose Jackson and,
cool.
his Buffalo Bearcats. I was a Buffalo Bearcat, and we played rhythm and blues, no jazz. And
that's how you started out?
Oh, yeah, I started out as a rhythm and blues player. Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
And I'm going to surprise you with something else. You know who the drummer was in that group?
No.
Philly Joe Jones. We had to eat, Marion. And the pianist was Tad Dameron.
Good heavens.
That's where I met him. Yes.
Well, you know, I guess you start someplace, and that's what happened.
Quite an anachronism, really, musically. And we had the occasion to play a little town called Dayton, Ohio. And it was there where I met a lovely young lady named Betty Pritchett. And we struck up a relationship, and it became so intense that I thought perhaps one day we would lock arms and walk off into the sunset together.
Really?
Yes. But things didn't work out quite that well, Marion. One day the sun came up, and she walked off without me, Marion. However, as time went by, I found myself in another group. This time it was a jazz group. It was Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. I was quite happy about that. And we played Washington, D.C. And there I met another lovely young lady whose name was not Betty, but Bobby. Get the alliteration there? Benny, Betty, Bobby. It kind of rolls off of the tongue.
Three B's.
The B's, yes, 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 yes. And I didn't trust the sun this time, so I married her quickly. And you know, when you first get married, Marion, your mate is always right by your side, at least in the beginning. And I would meet people, and they would shake my hand and turn to her, and they know that they had nailed it on the head and say, "And you must be Betty." But of course, she was Bobby. And this didn't go over too well for a while.
I think not.
You know, and I'd often thought about changing the title from Along Came Betty to Along Came Bobby. Too late.
It is much too late.
Some things can't be changed. Maybe we ought to try playing it since we're talking about it.
I think we should.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a great tune.
Let's try it.
Okay. A good tune. And you know, you write tunes people remember.
I think I
read that somebody said that about you.
Yeah, I love the melodies. I'm from the old school.
Well, that's good, because sometimes you think the melody has got lost.
It gets lost sometimes.
Oh, there ain't no melody.
Right.
Something like that. You know, I read somewhere that you like that Dave Brubeck tune in your own sweet way.
I think it's one of the most beautiful tunes in jazz, really. You know, I don't think it gets played or recorded enough. Yes, I recorded on my new CD, Terminal One. Among other things, another one of the things I did, Marion, I know you remember Sweet Georgia Brown. You laugh.
I'm laughing because why did you pick that?
Well, you know, if we talk in terms of pre-Cherokee, we find that we're at the doorstep of Sweet Georgia Brown. And this is one of the tunes that the musicians used to play to prove their mettle. And they used to play it fast. Oh, if you could play Sweet Georgia Brown fast, you must have really been into something, you know. Cherokee came later. Now, I decided that's a tune that stood the test of time. Let's slow it down a little bit and take a closer look at it and see what kind of feelings we can get from it. And that's what I did on the CD. And maybe you and I can see now what kind of feelings we can derive from it as we ply the seas of its existence.
Oh, I like that. Ply the seas of its, of its existence. Yes, let us ply the seas.
Onward and upward.
Let us seize the moment and ply the seas.
Okay, here we go.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.